Hi, folks. While the presentation is loading here, I'm Patrick Lenihan. Joining me today in the back is Christina Welter, one of my colleagues on this paper. The two prior presentations focus on the value of specific innovations, GIS and the electronic medical record. And what I'm going to do is focus more broadly on the process of adopting an innovation using a case study of a large urban health department employing a fiscal agent to drive innovation. I have no financial relationships to disclose other than perhaps I wish I had established one with Starbucks on the way over here. But, so why is this an issue? Well, for the last 25 years, I think it can be seen that we're in a generation of change for public health in general, for public health agencies in particular. You have successive demands coming from outside the field, from inside the field, that public health needs to be more change-oriented, to adopt new innovations. The 1988 Future of Public Health Landmark Report by the Institute of Medicine kicked that off. You have a number of changes being demanded since that time, and perhaps the latest is the ARRA requirements that public health agencies now move into chronic disease and prevention in a more effective way. That being said, though, there's a lot of barriers for public health agencies to be innovative. We operate in silos, both professional silos and programmatic silos. Public health agencies tend to be units of local government or state government, and we know government comes with a lot of rules and regulations about how things that get done. We don't operate just based on what we want to do. There are stakeholder demands out there which tend to freeze programs in place in a long time and prevent them from being changed, even when change is needed. And then finally, we find ourselves, unfortunately, using science more as a shield than as a light and hiding behind what we think to be demands of science. And if you look more closely, there's no real demand for science for a lot of what we do. Nonetheless, though, there's been a number of change initiatives that public health has attempted to implement over the past 20 years. There's broad definitional initiatives like the core functions and essential services, a number of performance-related and management initiatives have come online, and perhaps the most recent of these is the use of fiscal agents and the emergence of public health institutes as engines of innovation and change. Now, several factors point to why fiscal agents would be useful as agents, or rather as engines of innovation. One is the ongoing call for public health agencies to adopt more business practices, to become more business-like in what they do. And we know that businesses have been in the lead in looking for how they can innovate, how they can make change. They reorganize, they have spin-off units. Some have done things like Lockheed's famous example in the 60s of creating these outside skunk works in which they can pull off those units, those individuals that are responsible for innovating and set them aside so that they can work outside of the broader organization. But there are a few good examples for public health to follow if the expectation is that public health innovate. Two things, though, that I think comes out of the literature which is important to note in thinking about how might public health agencies then guide themselves in innovating. One is that to really innovate, you have to not just have the big idea. Innovation is more than just the product or the service that's new and improved. There also has to be an administrative or management component to that. So you need the administrative component and the big idea for innovation to really occur. And then most innovation is distributed. It doesn't happen in some back room in some organization. It generally involves entities outside of the organization in a collaborative process. And I think we can see both of these in these two slides, which Christina warned me to go quickly over, that innovation is not just the big idea on the front end, but there is a long process that you have to go through before innovation actually takes hold. you need the idea plus application in order for innovation to, an idea to become innovation. And then finally, putting together this administrative innovation with programmatic innovation, you need to operate in this upper right-hand quadrant in order to really get the breakthrough. Most public health either operates in the upper left-hand quadrant, attempting to apply new administrative approaches to doing older things, or they engage in wishful thinking, keeping on doing the same things, but hoping that they're going to get something new out of it. This particular study was a case study. We followed basic recommendations for conducting case study research. We had four critical questions which we were trying to answer. What is the sequence of events? What are enabling factors and barriers? What are the intended outcomes? And then can a general framework be determined for how innovation might be adopted in a public health agency through using fiscal agents? It was largely a qualitative design. We used multiple data sources, mostly records that were generated internally, and then the discussions and informal interviews. And we try to stay close to some of the important recommendations to assure study quality. The focus of this case is the Cook County Department of Public Health, which is a very large health department serving the suburban areas outside of the city of Chicago. 2.5 million people, a lot of staff, a fairly significant budget. This is a very comprehensive health department, providing the full array of the 10 essential services. And it is structured within county government, but not totally controlled by county government. There is a buffer organization, which gives it some independence in making sure that the public health activities can go on unimpeded. The Cook County situation, you can see a number of strengths. It has very stable and capable leadership, both within the executive branch of the organization, within the health department, and at the program level. Innovation was not something new to this health department. They had adopted many of those recommendations that have been coming out of the public health, national public health leadership, and what a forward-leaning health department would do in being able to innovate and change. But they did have challenges, challenges which perhaps you might expect for a large urban health department within a larger government structure. The politics, the politics change. And with governments, you do have this bureaucracy, which has a tendency to trickle down, even when there's resistance within the organization itself. The focus of this innovation was the implementation of the CPPW, Communities Putting Prevention to Work initiative, and it had some stringent requirements for implementation. The program focus was on policy, environmental, and systems change, something that public health agencies are not used to doing in a large way. It's not so much rolling up your sleeves and dealing with delivery of services or doing population interventions, but it's changing the broader environment, the policy framework, and building systems. It had very much an external organization of attempting to embed this within the community to make sure that this would occur outside of the public health agency. And then there's a strong emphasis on performance in the beginning and being able to get things ramped up, a very short time frame, 2 years from start to finish, and a very stringent community action plan which detailed the outcomes that were to be achieved in this period. Now, putting these two together, there were some real obstacles and barriers. Most were administrative. The administrative structures within the health department made it very difficult to be able to hire the new staff that might be needed to carry out this initiative. And then contracting and budgeting and dealing beyond staff There was also a number of subcontracts with community-based organizations and partners who would provide technical assistance, and these had to be put into place quickly outside of the normal contracting process that the health departments had to go through. And so there was a realization that there needed to be an alternative administrative mechanism to be able to move as rapidly as they needed to move to complete this hiring and to do this contracting. So a fiscal agent was selected. The Public Health Institute of Metropolitan Chicago, my organization, which served as the fiscal agent, had a longstanding past relationship with the Cook County Department of Public Health. The agency had demonstrated that it could perform in serving as a fiscal agent and providing programmatic support to a number of initiatives. But urgency also played a role here in that this had to be done relatively quickly, so there wasn't the time to go through the usual competitive bidding process that government agencies like to go through. And there was strong advocacy by the county health department leadership to use this fiscal agent so as to take advantage of these positives and to be able to move quickly. And then finally, CDC was explicitly focusing on the performance requirements and tacitly encouraging organizations, health departments that were going to apply for this initiative, that if they couldn't do it within their administrative structures, they needed to find something else, and using fiscal agents was openly suggested. Two sets of expected outcomes were established. The first set focused more on those administrative innovations, primarily to address administrative barriers. We wanted to streamline hiring. We wanted to put in more effective organizational structures for management and service delivery. And we wanted to streamline decision-making so you could bring the right people at the right time on a problem as it occurred and be able to solve the problem and move on. But we also wanted to maintain the legal requirements that the county government was concerned about and maintain that political support within county government so that this had an opportunity to become institutionalized and move forward. And, of course, more effective and efficient allocation of the funds. One of the advantages of using outside organizations in this way is that you can use less money for administrative purposes and more money for programmatic purposes and hopefully have a better impact. We have some longer-term outcomes, though, which tended to be more programmatic in nature. The first was, of course, being able to achieve the overall goals of having visible and measurable policy, environmental, and systems change within the Cook County jurisdiction at the end of this project. But we knew that this could not be done in a two-year period. It was simply unrealistic. So you needed to build an infrastructure there so that this project was sustainable within the jurisdiction after the grant funds ended. And that sustainability also had to ripple into the inside. There needed to be an infrastructure within the Cook County Department of Public Health to carry this out and to serve as the lead entity in moving forward to work with the community partners in ensuring that this infrastructure would stay in place. The arrangement with the fiscal agent was governed by a master contract. There was a very explicit division of labor in which the county retained complete control over programmatic aspects. The Public Health Institute handled the administrative aspects and then things that kind of fell between the cracks. We had a joint executive management team which met regularly. There was a very explicit organizational structure which involved both Public Health Institute and Health Department staff. And we had a special office set up to run this project, which was co-located with, at the time, the County Health Department's administrative offices, but separate from it so that we could move in a style that was necessary to be able to handle the hiring and procurement in an expedited process. So that's the structure going into it. Where are we now? Well, this is still a work in progress. We're about 18 months into the project. It's probably going to be another year's worth of work left. But we are starting to see some results. Hiring, contracting, and procurement occurred in a much more rapid manner than had it been handled through the normal routes. You have a functional capacity in place for problem solving, for making administrative decisions, and the flexibility to make mid-course corrections, which is important. We are meeting the grant deliverables, both in terms of those administrative deliverables and reporting on time for a very complex project, but also meeting the objectives that have been set out in the Community Action Plan. And you're finding that there is an efficient use of resources, that the administrative overhead rate is under 12%. So you have much more of the grant being used for program purposes than you would have had normally. And then finally, the county, which is really the keeper of the public health values, those values are maintained in this process. There was a concern that using a fiscal agent, we'd become too expedient just in getting things done, and concerns about equity and accountability and openness might be pushed aside. There's been success in maintaining those important values in this project. But it's not been without some challenges. Managing 70 delegate agencies in a short period of time to do something for the first time has been a bit of a challenge, and so we continue to wrestle with that. There's organizational culture differences between the Public Health Institute and the Health Department that have to be resolved. These play out mostly over who's responsible for what. That division between fiscal and programmatic responsibility is not that easy to draw a line between. The staff often don't know who they work for, which is kind of a good thing in terms of they work for the project, but are they technically they're employees of the Public Health Institute, but they work closely with the county staff, so they often wonder, well, you know, what hat should we be wearing? And there's a much day-to-day problem solving going on. Nothing really stays fixed. So you're continuing to solve problems, and you find that the urgent drives out the important, such that some of the strategic things that you need for sustainability really never make it to the front of the front burner. There's some things that we are questioning whether we'll get to at this point. And I guess the next year we'll see. Will we establish a sustainable community capacity? Will there be a residual infrastructure out there in the community to be able to carry this work on after the grant period ends? That's still up in the air. Likewise, will the health department have the internal capacity to do this? There's certainly been an effort to build that internal capacity, but that internal capacity now has been an add-on through the project. Will that somehow then be internalized, institutionalized within the health department, so that there's an organizational unit, there's budget and executive support for doing this kind of work? And finally, there's the whole issue of culture, the broader culture. This health department, as forward-leading and as innovative as it is from a leadership perspective, is still within a larger government. And this larger government has a very different culture that this health department is attempting to not have infect the entire health department. So whether or not you're going to see that cultural change push up still remains to be seen. So what do we learn in going through all of this? Well, doing something of this nature requires time. Innovation is not quick. It's not just the big idea that you have to have. It's you got to think about that entire implementation process and moving from idea to diffusion. Leadership support is critical. Fortunately, we have had leadership support within the county health department all along. There's been changes in leadership, but having a solid executive team underneath the top person has helped and keep the project moving. You can't just focus on programmatic or the big idea type of innovation. There has to be administrative innovation too. You can't do new things using old structures. You have to have new administrative approaches in order to get new results. And you can't do it alone. This is something which can't be cooked from the inside and then just dropped in the community. There has to be a guiding coalition both within the organization to make this grow and take roots, and then outside of the organization within in the community. A sense of urgency is important. Having to perform quickly within a two-year time frame helps drive decision making and forestalls, if you will, the inclination to kind of go through the usual procedures. That also extends to having big visibility that the world is watching, that we need success, and so we need to make choices. And if we follow our administrative rules but don't accomplish the end results, then we have not really achieved much. It's going to be much easier to explain why we haven't followed these administrative rules if we have some accomplishments that we can point to. And finally, it's easy to underestimate the time demands that the routine requires. That even though this is an innovation you want to focus at the strategic level, implementation is really not about strategy so much as it is day-to-day stuff. So you end up focusing much more of your time on administrative activities and managing the routine operations. You can't just do it. You need to have a sound structure in place. And having that contract and an organizational structure allowed us that base that we at least started knowing how we were relating to each other and what our division of responsibilities were. Because this is about policy and systems change outside of the organization, you need to work with your contractors as partners and not so much as subcontractors. What's written down in that piece of paper only goes so far in establishing relationships, particularly if the goal is to achieve sustainability, to get them become champions for moving this forward and commit their resources or be able to support garnering resources from other sources. And then finally, you got to toot your own horn if this is successful and only the folks who are working on it know about it, then you don't get much of a way of success. So you need to be able to promote your initiative and let the world know as things are going along that this is innovation occurring in public health. So I'll stop here and ask you to hold your questions so the final presenter can have an opportunity.